Would you open your Bibles, please, to Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 8. This week's reading finished up Matthew and went to Mark chapter 13. You probably already know this, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke are called the Synoptic Gospels, from the word synonym, in that they tell the same story of Jesus in a very similar way. They cover many of the same details. Much of what they say is similar, but there are some unique things in there, so each one is worth a read because you get the view of the gospel from a different writer. It's a good stuff. In each one of the gospels, the writer is telling the story of Christ talking about his cross. He talks about it well before the crucifixion. When we think of the cross, we tend to think of a physical thing, right? Of a wooden structure used to torture and crucify people. But the actual word means something much more. I'd like to read Mark 8:34 for you. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, this is Jesus speaking, if any of you wants to be my follower, any of you want to be his follower? Anyone in the room saying, I want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Anybody who's saying, hey, you know, in this busy, complex, horrible, happening world, I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Let me see your hands. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm signing up for. I didn't sign up for some religious thing. I'm signing up to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Well, Jesus says, if any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow me. So I just have to put it out there, I have to ask the question, what does it mean to take up your cross? We understand the follow me command. We have, I'm sure, daily troubles with that. Anyone else? I want to be a follower. I've just said I want to be a follower. Rex sort of led us in a creed this morning. We said all the things that we believe. And we quickly would say to another, yes, I want to be a follower of Christ. I realize that wherever he's going, it would be good for me to be with. Yes? And we've come to learn that not all the places he will go necessarily would we want to go. Right? But he doesn't say, follow me if you want to, in the sense of you'll get some goodies. He's saying, you come, you follow me. But prior to that, what did he say? Take up your cross. What does that mean? I'll let you work on that for a second. What is this cross business? Did Jesus really mean that every one of us should get crucified on a wooden cross? Is that what it means? No. The Greek word for this cross thing is not just the physical object of a wooden cross, but the meaning of it is this, and I quote the translation here, or the definition. To forget one's self. To lose sight of one's self and self-interests. Now, how are you doing? To be a follower of Jesus Christ is to take up your cross. That means to, some would say, be dead to self. Have you heard that phrase? How are we doing in the dead to self business? Is this a command? Mark 8:34, do you read that as a command? It's real quiet in here. "Hey, how would you like to follow me?" Jesus says. "Oh, yes, I want to follow you. Because I know that wherever you go, you'll take care of me. I know that wherever you go, it'll be where the Father has directed you to go. I want to be a part of what you're a part because you're going to do what the Father tells you to do." Amen? "I want to be a part of what you're a part because wherever you go, the Holy Spirit will be empowering the thing." Amen? Wait a minute, this should be exciting stuff. Oh, the cross. I like the exciting part. It's pretty straightforward, really. It does mean being dead to self or alive in Christ through the recognition that I can lose sight of self and be alive in Him. Knowing that we're finishing up the Old Testament, we're beginning this New Testament, I was asking God about how this year's read-through of Scripture might be a little different. What did He have for me or for us this year as we finished up the Old Covenant, which I'm glad to finish? Amen? Amen. And get into the Gospels, the good news. I like good news. I happened upon a little book. I didn't bring it this morning. It was written in the 14th century by a fellow named Fenelon. It's titled simply, "Let Go." I'm warning you about this book. If you get it, beware. It's called "Let Go" by Fenelon. It's about death to self. Not only do we not want to die to self, but we're in a world where independence is championed, where surrender is seen as failure, where submission is looked upon as weakness. I was led to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you would turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. There's a very explicit statement about the relationship between the cross of Jesus Christ and mankind. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are headed for destruction." Who would those headed for destruction be? Who would those be? The unsaved, the lost, the pagans, those who reject the gospel message, yes? Because this message of the cross, to them it's just foolish stuff. Why would anyone want to be in a faith system that had a cross? Why would anyone want to be a part of death? Especially death to self. Come on, that's just foolishness. What could be the benefit of this? Well, he goes on, he says, "But we who are being saved," how many in the room are being saved? "We who are being saved, it's the very power of God." Church, how many of us want to experience the power of God? How many of us recognize that He can do all things, that nothing's impossible for Him? Amen? That we, you and I, very quickly can get to the end of ourselves, right? In our abilities and our wisdom and everything. And because we are believers, when we get to that point, we call on Him. And we're hopeful and expectant of His power, yes, to come and be a part of the lives we're living. True? I guess we could say, along with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we believe in the power of God, with the everyday shoe leather opportunity for God to show up in your life, in my life, and do stuff. Amen? Amen? First Corinthians is talking about foolishness to those who are going into destruction, but the power of God for we who are saved. It gets even worse if I can pinch just a little bit in how infected the world we believers are in. We're infected by the world. How many of you got a flu shot? You got a flu shot? You know, this business of getting shots is now very controversial, right? People are saying get shots, other people are saying don't get shots. People are saying get immunizations, and other people are saying don't get immunizations. We have a body system here called, we have a mechanism in us called the autoimmune system, right? Listen, the best immunization you can have against the world and its dirt is what? Jesus Christ. This is big. The power of God. You and I want the power of God in our lives. We crave the power of God to be active in our lives. We have learned that our power is limited and God's power is not. Romans 8:1, some of you can quote that. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Isn't this good stuff? I say, Lord, help me. He says, follow me. I say, I'll follow you anywhere. He says, take up your cross. I say, I want to read you just three words from Fenelon's little book. It was actually a series of 40 letters that he wrote to people who had written into him. So he's the spiritual advisor, and people have trouble in their lives, so they write a letter and they send it to him, and then he responds. So the little book is these 40 letters of response, but here's just three of them. From letter one, which is titled, The Advantages of Humility. There's a fun read, isn't it? He says, and I quote, humility is good in every situation because it produces that teachable spirit which makes everything easy. How many of you are teachable? How many of you feel you have a rhetorically, I'm asking, do you have a teachable spirit? You probably are quick to say yes about things you don't think you know about. I'm a very teachable person when it comes to electrical problems, plumbing problems, anything construction oriented. I'm very teachable because I don't know that stuff. But the stuff I think I know about, how teachable am I? How teachable are you? How many times during a Bible reading or sermon do you find yourselves kicking against the goat? Humility is a pretty important thing, isn't it? Don't we like humble people as opposed to proud people? And yet, what is the whole world telling us to learn and be? Be all you can be. You can do it. Do it your way. On and on and on, the world is telling us to rise up and be independent and take charge and get her done. Yes? And Christ comes and basically says, lay down your life. From letter two, which is titled, now you're not going to like this, but too bad. How to Bear Suffering Peacefully. I don't think there's anyone in the room who hasn't experienced suffering. Here it is, and I quote, even now, Fenelon writes, my soul is suffering, but I am aware that it is the life of self which causes pain. That which is dead does not suffer. Nothing so shortens and soothes suffering as the spirit of non-resistance. Do you have a hurt? Do you have a pain? Do you have a ought against someone? Do you have a chip on your shoulder? Do you have a revenge you need to take? Are you suffering in some... He writes later in his book, it talks about the great physician who knows how to cut out the infected parts of a body. And he says, the great physician knows exactly where to put the knife. Have you ever gotten on your hand or your leg or anywhere on your body what is called proud flesh? Do you know that term? Proud flesh? What is proud flesh? It's a part of you that's hurting and suffering and maybe infected and oozing and weeping, yes? And if it gets too proud, what does the doctor do? This is a lousy sermon. Lastly, letter 13, and I quote, "Do not be overly concerned about your defects. Instead, concentrate on having an unceasing love for Jesus, and you shall be much forgiven because you have loved much." He quotes Luke chapter 7, 47. How many of you are aware that you have some defects? The more you look at this, what you think is a defect, the less peace you're going to have. If you don't like the way you look, standing in the mirror is not going to help. If you don't like some character trait you have, you will probably notice it first and quickest in someone else. When someone else offends you character-wise, with their demeanor or their way, you will probably notice it most quickly if it's in you. Have you figured this out in life? And it won't bring any peace to concentrate on it. What does Jesus say to do? He says, take up your cross, die to self. I love preaching this. I just can't do it. Can you? The scripture gives us comfort, church, because it says elsewhere that we, you and I, the believers, are working out our salvation. And hopefully today's little message about dying to self won't come across as some horrible, evil plan to diminish you, but rather some wonderful joy to increase the Lord. He must increase, it says. You remember this? But I must decrease. Okay, enough of this doctrine about theology, death of self business. What about how do you do it? The shoe leather part. You know, preachers can tell you all kinds of principles and then you try and figure out, how can I do that? Well, it's very practical. I don't do very well at dying because I want to live. Do you want to live? I like life. I like learning everything I can, experiencing all I can, the more joy, the more fun, the more pleasure, etc. Are you like that? I'm learning more about surrender. Why do we see surrender in a negative light? Well, it's probably because it's hooked to what we perceive as military campaigns and issues of nations, man against his fellow man. And, you know, if you don't defend yourself, if you don't stand up for yourself, you'll just get run right over. True or false? And yet I say I want to be like Jesus. There's a guy who didn't take up his defense at all, did he? He didn't say yes, but to the Pharisees. He was silent before his accusers. I'm learning also that when I do submit to God, he doesn't beat me up. Rather, he lifts me up. Here's a principle. I spend so much of my time with my own ego trying to inflate my own self and understanding of what I want in life that I get exhausted. How about you? And when I finally sit down and just say, okay, God, have your way, he lifts me right up. He can take all the stuff you are wrestling with, the steam that's coming out of your ears because of all that brain activity, and he can say something like this, peace, my child. How many of us need peace? Who's that guy in philosophy who's always pushing the stone uphill? Do you know what I'm talking about? The endless pushing of the stone uphill? I'm learning that God's plan for my day works out better than my plan for my day. You might ponder this week when you get up. What is my plan for the day? Carol and I are pretty good at checking our calendars and looking at all the schedules that we have to keep and all the meetings to go to and all the things that we're supposed to be involved in. And it gets to be, it almost gets to be an automatic kind of a process. You go to bed at night, you set the alarm, you get up in the morning, you look at your schedule. Right? You run through your schedule, boomity boom, boom, boom. And then you take a few days off. We took 4 days off this past week. We went to the beach. You get to the beach, you carry all the stuff in, you lay it all around, and then you stand there. Now what? No schedule. I'm not at home. Don't have to deal with all the stuff. What am I going to do? Oh, let's go for a walk. So you go for a walk. You get back, and there you are again. Oh, well, let's get something to eat. So you get up, you go to the inn, you get in the thing, you order the food, you eat the thing, and then you get back, and there you are again. How many of you want to go to the beach? I'm learning that that God's plan for my day works out better. It's a supernatural kind of a thing. How many of you love the supernatural? Amen. Supernatural is a compound word, yes? Yeah. It's very natural, but it's very super. Yeah. I want you this morning, and perhaps for the time this week, to look at your life. Look at the attempts you've made to do a thing, to control a thing, to fix a thing. Look at your attempts at stuff. And then look back and see what God has done.
That's right. Amen.
I think you'll find that God's been pretty busy.
Amen.
I've always had a fascination with this idea of angels. I've read with interest in the Bible that there are angels. Some of them are named. They seem to show up at very particular times, impacting the life of people, and so that's why they're in here, yes? So angels are really cool. But when you encounter one, it's unbelievable. Well, that's bad. It is believable. And I've learned, I don't know how to, I can't prove this, but I kind of am one who believes in the concept of guardian angels. Now, I don't know if it's literally true the way we talk about it. Does God actually dispatch a given named member of the heavenly host to look after me? I can certainly look back at some things I did in my life that were pretty stupid and feel that there must have been something saving me on that motorcycle. As Carol would say, and I quote my wife, here's the deal. I don't know why it is that you women, when you want to say something specific, you point. Carol says, here's the deal. Her point is always like this. Irene's finger is always like this. Have you noticed? Here's Irene. Now, here's the deal. She's going to be serious. Here's Carol. Here's the deal. I can do a lot of things, but God can do anything.
Amen.
True or false?
True.
I can do the possible, but God does the impossible. I can and do choose a way, but God offers me the best way. Okay, got some really good news for you to hopefully leave this death to self thing on a positive note. I want you to think about some dying to self that you've already experienced, perhaps. God is not calling you to do the impossible. He's there to do the impossible. He's simply asking us to participate with what he wants to do. Take, for example, generosity. Old-timey preachers call that tithing. We newer moderns call it a generous offering. The fact that God is the supplier of everything and that we get to give back, right? That's called generosity. That's not always money. A lot of it's your time. A lot of it's your gifts, your talents. But haven't you discovered that generosity just really is cool?
It is.
Huh? Haven't you figured that out?
Yeah.
If you haven't figured out that generosity is a blessing to you, then you're missing a great blessing. Don Mayles has given testimonies of how you can't outgive God. And by now you should have 3 or 4 tractors. You know. Oh, a new one. Okay. Here's another death to self that I'm sure you can look back and see in your life. I hope. How about forgiveness?
Yes.
Have you learned the tremendous blessing of forgiving someone?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
Have you learned the terrific bondage of not forgiving?
Right.
What is that saying? Not forgiving is like taking the poison and expecting the other person to die.
Yeah.
Steve, I'm really irritated with you. You really me off the other day, and so I'm taking this drug. I kill self. I flail. Does forgiveness work or not work? You can't forgive someone and carry a grudge. You can't do it. You will heat up on the inside. For Joyce right now, Joyce is just days away from one of the most horrible things you can go through, a move. And instead of doing the move from little to big, she's doing the move from big to little. It's further complicated. She even told you a little bit ago that she's upset about it. We could kind of tell. We have to learn to die to this stuff. And perhaps that word die is not good. Fenelon in one of his chapters says we need to be deaf to self. Deaf. Quit hearing the I. And start hearing the Lord's voice. The last two that I wrote down of ways that you and I can demonstrably yield ourselves, surrender and submit, is how about prayer for someone else? I can instantly pray for me, because me is dominant. I need this, I pray for that in my life, etc. Are you with me? I live on the left side of that cross. I'm in need of this. I'm in need of that. I want this. You hear what I'm saying? We need to let that go. Surrender to that. Die to that. So that Jesus Christ, the I am, can invade the situation. Prayer is one way to do that. Prayer for another person,
yes.
Not your prayer.
Yes.
And perhaps one of the easiest things that all of us can do to see the self diminished and the ministry expanded is to, and through service to others. Whenever I get to talking with other preachers about churches that they serve, and every pastor wants to talk about his congregation, my heart just swells up with righteous pride, because I get to talk about you. And this is not a church where 5 or 10% of the people do all of the work. There might be 5 or 10% of the people that are up front, but I can. That's why I don't have a lot of Thanksgiving services where I start naming people, because anytime you start naming people, you're going to leave somebody out, and then you're really going to need a forgiveness meeting, okay? So many people here are giving so much and serving so much and doing so much, and I understand that that lacks some coordination at times, that things could get a little wiggy at times, and that things aren't as perfected as they could be if we ran it more like a General Motors Corporation. But I think the body of Christ is supposed to be a fluid thing with a spirit moving around and in. Amen? Yeah. And when one of our young people wants to present an offertory, we don't care if it takes a few seconds to find the music, do we? This thing isn't a run like a ship at sea. Thank you so much. I wish you'd put the words up. I kind of wanted to sing that song. The title of the book is Let Go. You can get it on Amazon. I would encourage you to buy it, but I'm warning you with what it will tell you. He's trying to show you the freedom that we get by letting Christ be in you and live his life through you. Death to self. Amen? Lord, thank you so much for what you put on our hearts. Thank you for the word of your gospel. Thank you that Matthew, Mark, and Luke mean this so much. They repeated it over and over in their gospels. We want to be those, Father, who learn from those that have gone before. We want to be available to go where you lead us. So help us today. Show us the good news. That Jesus Christ is alive, that this world is being encountered by your Holy Spirit, that you are doing the wonderful and the impossible things even in our lives. Yes, oh God, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I further would pray if there's anyone here this morning that's wrestling with this whole idea of surrender and submission. Perhaps you've tried it and got stomped on. Perhaps you've tried serving another only to be taken advantage of. Perhaps you've encountered all kinds of personal onslaught against your person. Let go. Let go and let Jesus fill you with his love. Amen and amen and amen. Well, God bless you, church. I really have some happy news now. I am pleased to say this is Nacho Sunday. All right. You are dismissed.